In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to
thorns. It's interesting the way our epistle and gospel readings pair this year. Today in both readings, we are presented with an image of thorns, those prickly pokes that grow on particular plants and have been a poetic metaphor since the invention of language for all kinds of ailments, challenges, and unpleasantries. Thorns. If I say I have a bunch of thorns in my life right now, you may not know what they are, but you'll know what I mean by the term. Today's gospel reading is the parable of the sower. Jesus is out sowing the seeds of the gospel, that God has come among us, that healing and forgiveness and reconciliation are offered to everyone, that light shines in the darkest places of your life, that there can be peace and guidance in the midst of chaos, and that you are loved with a crazy, infinite amount of love. This good news, which is really the deepest gnawing desire of the human heart, according to the parable, is not universally received. Sometimes the love is welcomed, and it's accepted, and it's nurtured, and a life is changed in a miraculous way. Other times this message is ignored or smothered for a myriad of complicated reasons. Enter the thorns. The thorns come and choke the message. So what is in this image of thorns? You know, we have all this goodness, all this reconciliation, all this healing, and all this love. This deeply attractive message of beauty is offered to a person and eagerly accepted by a person. And there's this delight, this kind of spiritual high, the honeymoon period when all is light. But after a month, or a year, or maybe just an hour, reality sets in. The cares and the pains and the temptations, the memories or the new struggles, grief, or the desire to leave it all and pursue some long overdue comfort. These are the thorns that come in and choke that original delight. And it often shocks a person that after the seed of the gospel begins to grow in us, those personal thorns come back. It can be kind of shocking. According to the parable, these thorns can be the downfall of light in a person's heart. And we're blessed today that we get a complimentary image in our epistle that Carrie just read for us. The Apostle Paul tells of a vision he had wherein he experienced the actual paradise of God. And he heard angelic languages that are glorious beyond human words. And he received within himself God. He received within himself divinity. Paul experienced the light of God in a direct way. And just like in the Savior's parable, the seed of the gospel was planted in Paul and for him in a most dramatic manner. And Paul loved it. He was exalted beyond measure. Well, for a little while, anyway. Remember in the parable how the thorns returned and choked the growth. Well, Paul tells the Corinthians that he also, after all these revelations, that he also got a thorn in the flesh. Satan's messenger, Paul calls it. Satan's messenger. It must have been a biggie. To buffet me, to smack me around. And we don't know what Paul's thorn in the flesh is. Is it an illness or an enemy? There's evidence that he had bad eyesight or a speech impediment. Could have been all his arrests and persecutions. We don't know. What we do know is that this personal thorn was bad enough that Paul not only asked, but in his words, pleaded with God that it be taken away. So I'd like us to consider two questions for ourselves. First question for you is, what are your thorns? Now remember, thorns in this context are not just minor irritations. They're not the ordinary hurdles of daily life. Your thorns, as the term is used here, are the bigger spiritual impediments, things that have the potential to diminish relationships, to douse your inner light, to choke your faith, to asphyxiate hope, and strangle the love of God within you. That's what we mean by thorns. In the parable, your thorns are what keep the seed of the love of Christ from flourishing. That's big stuff. So there is wisdom in recognizing and identifying your thorns, subtle as some of them may be. Now, obvious thorns for a person might include illnesses, and that could be physical, it could be mental health, it could be emotional. There's trauma, there's broken relationships, there's addiction, there's temptation. And of course, there's the subtle thorns that still manage to choke this love as well. Unresolved guilt or resentment. Or how about the need to be right all the time? You know, that thorn chokes an awful lot of light in an awful lot of people. Or what about this one? The pursuit of security, which of course is an illusion because it can never actually be achieved, but we spend an awful lot of energy trying. I just finished reading a book on identifying and transforming your inner critic. You know that voice, or sometimes a cast of voices that live in your head and offer nothing but dysfunctional advice and criticism under the guise of trying to make you a better person. Do you have one or two of those inner critics? Sometimes they've been with us so long we no longer recognize them for what they are. And left untamed, they are a life sucker. They are thorns that choke genuine love. So your homework today is to recognize and identify your thorns, those things that really choke your faith and your love. And then my second question may help you begin to find some redemption in this. My second question is this: how come in Jesus's parable, the thorns lead to destruction, but in Paul's memoir, his thorn leads to life? That really is the question, isn't it? How come sometimes it can be destructive and sometimes it can lead to life? They have the same scenario at the beginning with both the sower and with St. Paul. Both begin with a gospel of light and love being poured out. And then both have thorns added. So it's the same beginning. Why do some thorns lead to despair while others lead to life? Well, here's a big hint. It's not what your thorns are that makes the difference. It is how you respond to them. It's how you see them and see past them. If you see your illness or your trauma or your brokenness or your temptations or your inner critics as an inherent part of yourself, that's just me, or focus or obsess over them and engage them 24/7, by the course of nature, that will suck the life out of you. We don't have that kind of bandwidth to be dealing with that all the time. When I asked you to consider what your thorns might be, remember I said recognize and identify them. That's all. Recognize and identify. When Satan's messengers come calling, I do not suggest you engage them. I do not suggest that you wrestle with them. I do not suggest you try to root them out or pull at them. Rooting out your thorns is, as they say, above your pay grade. It's not your responsibility. Your particular responsibility when Satan's messengers come calling is to turn to the loving embrace of Jesus Christ. And here's why Paul's thorns led to life for him. Paul saw his thorn as separate from himself, from his true essence. He didn't engage it. He didn't try to root it out himself. He turned to God, he says. I turned to Jesus Christ. I turned to my Lord. I turned my gaze to Jesus and said, Lord, take this away. 3 times. Lord, take this away. This is yours to deal with. And of course, we heard that Jesus responds, not in your life. My grace is so much bigger than your thorn. Fear not. You're good. You got this because I got this. You know, Paul's thorns came in from the side, yet his focus stayed forward. His focus stayed on Jesus Christ, on the love of God, on God with us. Everyone has thorns. When you feel like yours are trying to choke you, it's the focus on the gentleness of Jesus. It's the turning to grace and divine love that brings life. Amen. Amen.